first show of 2013 for Full Guard Fight Radio. We enjoyed a nice two-week break, had some great holidays, and we are back. We are ready to go. With no further ado, let me bring in my co-host, my partner in crime, Mr. Jason London.
Take heed, because I'm a lyrical poet. Miami's on the scene, just in case you didn't know it. My town that created all the fake sound. Enough to shake and kick holes in the ground, because my style's like a chemical spill. Feasible rhymes you can vision and feel. Conducted in form, this is a hell of a concept.
Matthew, what's up, my
friend? What's going on, buddy?
Happy 2013 to you. Welcome back.
Same to you, man. Welcome back, man. I missed you those last couple weeks, but, you know, it's all good. We're ready to go here. We'll start off the year with a bang with a good show tonight.
A little bit longer of a break for me than for you. I apologize to you. I apologize to our listeners. I apologize to Carl, but 2013 starting off right, man. What do we got going on tonight, Matt?
We got a nice big show. We're going to start off with Sky Moisczyk. He's a Bellator fighter. He also fights in the Max FC, Maximo Fighting Championships. He's got a couple of fights down there. I think he's got an upcoming fight, actually, in that promotion. But also he runs the American Battle Championships out of West Palm Beach, Florida. So they got a lot of events coming up over the next month, a couple up my way and a couple out there. I'm sorry, Fort Lauderdale. They got a couple events out there in Fort Lauderdale. So we're going to start off with him. After that, we're going to go to Curtis Burt of Gator MMA. One of the few guys at Gator we haven't interviewed yet. You know, we've had a bunch of those guys on. But Curtis is, they call him Mighty Mouse. He's only stands about 5'3", 5'4", something like that. But the dude is a beast. He is beastly strong. He actually picked me up over his head one night. We were rolling, picked me up over his head, slammed me on the ground. I near thought I had a concussion. So I really pity anybody who steps in the cage against this guy. He's got a lot of fights coming up himself over the next month or month and a half. So, and then we'll close out with another local guy here in Tampa. He trains out of world-class martial arts, and that is Andrew the Ghost Gonitsky. He had his MMA debut a couple months ago at the World Class Fight League Halloween Havoc, their first event. Destroyed his opponent in about 30 seconds, and he's fighting again next week at the World Class Fight League 2. And I expect he'll probably do the same thing. This guy's a beast. Big-time, devastating heavyweight fighter, and the MMA world better watch out for this guy because I don't think he's stopping anywhere less than being on top of the sport. So should be a great night. Close out with about 25, 30 minutes of open air time. Maybe we'll just do some discussion, maybe open the lines up, maybe get a call or two. But should be an awesome night, man. Should be a great night back. First night of first show of the year, and should have a great time.
You know what? It's so refreshing to be back, man. It's so refreshing to be able to sit and just talk MMA, talk something I love, and just, you know, go at it that way. So I'm looking forward to it. And I got to say, Andrew might be one of my favorite fighters. I'm partial to the heavyweights, so anytime I get a chance to talk to a big fella like myself, it's always enjoyable for me. So, looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, there's just some news I just saw. I'm trying to look it up here. Joey Beltran and I believe Paul Herrera, I forget his name. Couple guys at the last UFC event, they failed their post-fight drug test. I want to look it up here to see what those names were.
Is that Usman Poharis and...
Yes, there you go. You see, I was drawing a total blank on the name. Him and Joey Beltran failed their post-fight drug test after the UFC event.
Really?
On Fox event. Yeah. It just flashed through my Facebook page a few minutes ago. I'm trying to find it again here, but...
Okay. And Hector Lombard still beat down.
Yeah, yep. That Overeem just got his fight license back after that long suspension, so that'll be good, man. I'm looking forward to that Overeem-Bigfoot fight.
I cannot wait for that Overeem-Bigfoot fight. I'm looking forward to Overeem coming back and fighting. I think, to be honest with you, I honestly think Kane is just keeping Overeem's title warm for him. I think, you know, it's just a matter of time before he, you know, he just dominates and dominates the heavyweight division. But I'm really excited about Overeem being being back, being licensed, and then being able to go, man. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me that Paul Harris failed the drug test. The guy's just cut from a, you know, it looks like a Roman god, cut from this, chiseled from this rock. I mean, it's just, you know, it doesn't surprise me, but, you know, one of these guys is going to learn, man. You know, I'm a big baseball fan, and nobody was voted to the Hall of Fame because of steroid era. So one of these guys is going to learn that, you know, just cheating doesn't pay, man.
That's remarkable, too. You know, real quick second on baseball, which you brought that up there, but they, you know, you're talking a card of some of the biggest names in baseball history, and you got a 2013 baseball class that's going to have nobody. I think a couple guys that have passed away, I think they made it in, some guys played a long time ago, but it's pretty much a blank list of a Hall of Fame ballot this year, and that's just a big sign into, you know, the seriousness of this steroid scandal and steroid, you know, era. It's a shame, but it's been a black cloud over the sport of baseball for about the last decade now, so.
Yeah, no, but nobody was voted in. First time since 1999, the Baseball Writers of America voted nobody in. If anybody's going to get in this year, it's going to be by the Veterans Committee, and they don't vote until, you know, later on in the year a little bit. But, it's amazing to me to see the names like, you know, when I'm a kid growing up, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, those are the names that were, you know, I paid my hard-earned, you know, summer work money to go watch play baseball. And, it just is amazing to me that we're in an era, I think, real quick, on baseball, I think we're in an era where you either have to let these guys in or nobody's ever going to be in the Hall of Fame anymore. I think you absolutely make it known on their plaque that they're part of the steroid era. But, you know, it just transcends into MMA that, you know, these drugs must be doing something if people are failing the drug test. I don't know what they failed the drug test for. I'm just assuming steroids is what the failed drug tests were, and maybe a poor assumption on my part. But, I mean, just the fact of the matter is, just, you know, like Nancy Reagan said back in the 80s, say no to drugs. And so.
Yeah.
You don't know who that is. You're a young guy, so you wouldn't know who Nancy Reagan
is. I know who that is, Rick. yeah, man, you know, it is a shame. And these guys, I just, you know, back to the MMA side of it, you know, I don't know what's going through these guys' head. You know, they know these drug tests are mandatory post-fight. Most of the time you have the pre-fight and post-fight drug tests. So to think you're not going to get caught, I mean, it's quite arrogant in my opinion. I don't even think it's on the side of ignorance. I think it's more of the arrogance of, you know, I think I'll get away with this. You know, everyone else has been caught, but I think I'll get away with this. And sure enough, you know, you don't get away with it. You get busted. And
you just look like an idiot. You know what I mean?
You run the risk of losing your fight license. You know, ask some of these guys, you know, ask Overeem how it feels. You know, ask, I know Nick Diaz kind of, you know, did a retirement at the same time he was going to get suspended, but still, you know, Cyborg, she's just coming back here. You know, ask them what it's like as a fighter. This is your moneymaker. And, you know, some of these guys, yeah, they have their sponsors and stuff, so they don't always – they could go a year without fighting and it won't hurt them. But, you know, think about what it was like. You know, take about – you know, we'll talk to some of these local guys tonight and, you know, we'll get their – I actually kind of want to get their opinions on it, because it's like these are guys – local guys, these guys are fighting for little or no money just to get a record, just to get their name out, to really get themselves known, you know. And then you got these big-time guys who, they were all local guys at some time. You know, there is no UFC or MFC, Bellator, Pride. There is none of that without the local scene. All these guys come from a local promotion, local gyms, before they are, you know, world-class international fighters. And to get to this point where you think you're so on top of everything and untouchable that you're going to risk your career and your name on that stuff, it's just... It's a bit ridiculous. You know, we'll get back to that. I want to jump right in with Sky. We got Sky Moist Chicken in the queue, and he's a busy, busy man. I've had a chance to talk with him a little bit, and I'm excited to have him on tonight and excited to get out and see an ABC event. So, Sky, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me. I'm, like you said, busy, busy, busy. You know, February is going to be our first month with three shows. We We're actually going to throw more bouts than probably anybody in the world next year. So it's looking really good for ABC. And like you guys say, these guys start somewhere, and it's the local scene. And we're really trying to give guys opportunities to fight and guys set them up with even fights. Because, you know, even though these guys aren't the UFC guys, but they're guys coming up, even fights make exciting fights, and we have tons of exciting fights at ABC.
Right on. Well, I mean, there's two, for anyone who may not be familiar or not know exactly how busy this guy is, not only is he juggling his own career, he's got his own MMA career. You're still a young fighter in the game and still a lot of fights ahead of you. And to top that off, you got this whole other side to Sky where he's the promoter and part owner of the American Battle Championships, which is pretty much, like you said, like over the next month, going to pretty much be dominating the state of Florida with their events. So first and foremost, let's talk about your career, man. What do you got going on? I know you got an upcoming fight.
Oh, yeah. I'm real, real excited. I did a rematch with the guy I fought last time here in Puerto Rico, and that fight went to a decision. It was a very exciting fight, but I wasn't able to finish the guy. It went to a decision, and he feels deserving of a rematch, and I can't deny him that. I wasn't able to finish the job, so I'm going to go in there. I'm going to try to finish the job. I'm going to try to finish him early, and then there won't be any more rematches with him. So it looks really good. February 1st, I'm going to be fighting at 145. I feel really strong. I'm ready for a really, really good fight.
Right on, man. Go ahead, Jason.
Sorry, Sky. Thanks for joining us tonight. Just a quick question. When you get a chance to get a rematch, is that something that always grates any forever, and it's something that you know really really digs at you that. You know, I need to rematch this guy, or are you just kind of fighting whoever they put in front of you, whoever the best fight is at the time, or is that something that you went to Bjorn with and said, listen, this is what I want to do, or how does that work?
Well, this guy had the loss to me, and it was pretty recent, and he felt like it wasn't his best day. He took the fight on a day's notice. He hadn't been able to prepare for me and felt like he deserved a rematch based on that. And he took the fight short notice. I hats off to the guy. He came in shape, and we had a really, really good fight. So I can say I can see where he would want a rematch. Pretty much every fighter, when they lose a fight, they want that fight back. You know, L's aren't something that go away. The only way to ease the pain of a loss is to beat the guy who beat you. So,
right.
So you know, so I would love to be able to get my couple losses back, you know, but I've never been really a guy to ever ask for a rematch. If you beat me, you beat me.
Fair enough. So it doesn't. That's not the most important thing in your life, or in your fight career, is to avenge losses. Just kind of to get better in the next fight and move on.
Yeah, the people that I've lost to, it really wasn't available to rematch them. I mean, it doesn't always make sense. You know, I lost this last fight, and it was at 150 pounds because the guy missed the agreed upon weight of 145 by 5 pounds, you know, there'll
right.
be no rematch there. I'm going to drop to 135 pounds for the next time I'm in Bellator, and to me, he can't make 145. So I put myself in a bad situation again, and with a guy who can't even make the weight.
Well, fair enough.
One more
follow-up question before Matt gets going here. I apologize. This is something that has always grated on me. As a fighter, does it upset you? Does it, you know, for lack of a better term, piss you off that you train, you know your weight that you're going in to fight at, and your opponent, I don't know whether he doesn't take it seriously, whether just something isn't happening or he's not doing something, whatever, and just misses weight by 5 pounds. I guess I understand maybe a little more missing by, you know, a couple, like, you know, maybe 8 pounds, but 5 pounds, that just seems like you don't care. Is that, am I just missing something here, or is that, does that seem to be the way it works?
No, I feel very badly disrespected. I know the guy drives around in a $60,000 car, so for him, what's more important, the $1,000 that he lost out of his purse because he missed weight, or getting a win relatively easily? I mean, when you come in and you're between 20 and 30 pounds bigger than your opponent, it's a cheap shot, and that's what he did. I took the fight. The day that I took the fight was 3 weeks before the fight, and I was planning to make that cut down to 135, so I weighed 145 on the day that I said that I would take the fight. I was able to put on 10 pounds and make a cut from 155 to 145 relatively easily. And then the next day when I fought him, I weighed 150 pounds. I weighed on the fight day what he weighed in on weigh-in day, which means he had to have come in at least 170, at least 20 pounds bigger than me. And that's just, it's disrespectful. Oh, it's everything bad we can say about the sport. One of the great things about MMA is that we're able to match up guys who are of the same size, and it gives everybody a chance to be an elite athlete. And it's not like the NBA where it doesn't matter how good I am. If I'm 4'9", I never play in the NBA. You know, we've got a great system here where little guys can fight little guys, big guys can fight big guys. You know, there's no way a guy my size is ever going to beat a Brock Lesnar that knows what they're doing, you know? So size matters in fights, and when a guy misses weight, you really see it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I see some of these fighters like Quentin Jackson, you know, Rampage misses weight, and first thing he comes out with excuses, I'm sick, I'm this, I'm that. You know, I get it. Maybe some people just can't make weight. They just can't cut down there. Like, for whatever reason. But it just always seemed to me that it would be very disrespectful, and I appreciate the answer. I appreciate the, you know, the honesty there, so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I definitely didn't like it. We only give a 3-pound weight allowance in American Battle Championships, and that's it. If you're not within 3 pounds of the guy, then you don't get to fight. Right? That's just the way it is, you know. So we're doing something about it in the amateurs. We're making sure the guys come in on weight. You know, we can't hit them up and say, oh, we're taking part of your purse for being over. We can just tell them that they can't fight. And anyone that's not coming in within 3 pounds, they're not trying, like you said. You know, 3 pounds is maybe the most that you could understand when you've agreed to a fight weeks in advance.
Right on, man. I couldn't agree more. I was at a fight just last month where one of the guys out of Gator, Dean Stupar, came in on weight, and his guy came in that night, weighed about 13 pounds over, and they gave him until the next morning to weigh in again, and he came in and weighed about another 7 pounds over what he weighed in before. So he was supposed to be weighing in at 125, and day of the fight he weighed in at like 146 or something. And it's a big smack in the face for fighters when you're trying to cut weight and doing lots of work to cut.
And big shouts to Dean for winning that fight, for going ahead and saying, I'll take the fight anyway, and not just taking the fight and doing well, but actually going out and winning. I really look forward to having him in American Battle Championships. It's going to be great. He's going to be on that February 10th card, it looks like. And did you guys see I've got Dan Severin coming to that show?
Yeah, down at Gasoline Alley. That's going to be sick.
That's going to be absolutely great. You know, that's a definite legend in the sport. 127 fights, 101 wins. This guy, fought until he's 55 years old. That is just amazing. You talk about MMA being good for you. How many guys do you know who can go and even go out for a run at 55? And this guy's out there fighting 21-year-old kids at 55. It's just an incredible guy. I can't wait to meet him. All his fans are going to be able to meet him. He's going to be doing autograph sessions for free. And that's going to be just an absolutely awesome event right there. And I know that you guys are going to be down there to watch with me, right?
Absolutely. I will be there. My co-host here, he's a little bit away, but I know he always does his best to try and get out there. So hopefully he'll be able to get out there. But I will definitely be there. And I will also be at the 22nd card. I know you've got between the 10th and the 22nd, you've got quite a few of the Gator and MMA guys on those fight cards. So you're gonna be very impressed by what you see from the Gator MMA fighters. Let's go.
We've had some Gator MMA fighters before on the ABC card travel to our West Palm Beach show and perform very, very well. So we're really, really excited to have those guys in ABC again. And we've really got two excellent, excellent shows over there that are set up for you guys. The one at Gasoline Alley is a large venue. It's indoor, very, very nice. And it's a concert hall. Sorry about this, guys. I'm out in Puerto Rico, and I'm walking my dog while I'm talking to you guys, and all the other dogs are barking.
What kind of dog is that? It sounds like one of those little teacup chihuahuas that's barking. What kind of dog is
it? Yes, it is. I mean, barking at my dog, which doesn't make any sense to me, because my dog's the meanest looking dog that you could ever think of. You guys gotta check it out. I'll post something on my Facebook tonight, but we're trying to raise some money to take care of Lucky. We went and we found him on the side of the road right here in Puerto Rico. When we found him, he looked like a zombie dog. He had he'd gotten maimed so bad that his eyes is all the way around were scabbed over red, so it looked like he had just had big red spots for eyes. He had almost no hair. Hair was out, and just somebody had left him on the mountain and nobody to take care of him. He had a couple different kinds of worms. And since we spent a lot of money and done a lot to get him better, but there's still a little bit to go. And if we can get everybody's help, hit up my Facebook tonight. I'm going to go ahead and post to help Lucky. We've got a little GoFundMe set up to help him out. And that's my dog. He's a red-nosed pit bull, combined with a chartreuse, I think. So just a really, really sweet dog. When I saw him, I'm this big, tough fighter, right? And as soon as I see this 45-pound dog, I just am like, stop. I was like, oh, my God, what is this dog? But he came straight up to me and tail wagging and happy to be there just loves Eva Lees, my girl, and he makes sure that I've got her all protected when I'm over there in Miami and I'm training down at ATP Miramar and doing all that stuff. So we're definitely glad to have him, and you guys can read his whole story when I put it up there on that Facebook tonight.
Well, good. I knew being an MMA fighter, I knew you weren't going to have a little teacup chihuahua. If you were, we were going to have to hang up on you. I didn't want to have to do that. I appreciate
no.
it.
Hey, so let's go. You already brought up some of the ABC stuff. Let's go ahead and transition into that side of what you do. You, like I started off with, very busy. I know you guys got four events. What, at least four or five events already planned for the first month and a half of the year? Go ahead, take it away, man. I know you got lots going on with the ABC.
Okay, let me go all the way up to March, because March we have four events, and the fourth March event will be a charity event with Combat Spirit MMA and Jason, who does a great charity for the kids. Mike Tuzo with Global Fighting Solutions has volunteered sanctioning for the event. So Global Fighting Solutions doing good things for the kids. American Battle Championships has decided to sponsor it. What we're going to do is we're going to provide the guys with all the trophies, the gloves and wraps, all the equipment, so they can have this show. We're going to help them promote it and make it a big thing out there. I think it's going to be in Northport Myers. I'm going to have to check and I'll post on your wall when it's going to be. But a big charity show in March is already planned. We're looking to help the kids in that MMA program they got over there. And then we've got it set up now to where the third Monday of the month in Fort Lauderdale, we're doing American Battle Championships at the venue. It's the most fabulous place we could ever think of to have an MMA show. They have a huge place. We've got room for over 1,000 people there. The whole place holds 3,000 people. We're set up to where the fights are going to be shown live on all of the TVs, and they've got hundreds of flat screens through the place. $1 million light show. It's just an absolute awesome venue. And, we went and we said we want to make the biggest cards in Florida. And my matchmaker, Aaron Rajman, has really, really come through. I think the last count was 28 fights on the card. We meant to stop it at 25, but we had a couple people that asked us last minute to get on the card, and we just couldn't say no. So 28 fights, if you can believe it, on that card, and we're just going to run through them as fast as possible and have a huge card, and that's coming up really, really quick, January 21st.
You guys are going to be there all day, just fighting all day long.
Well, we're going to do something that nobody ever does. We're going to run a show with no intermissions, no guests, no nothing. If you guys come to a fight, you may or may not like the musical guest. If you guys come to the fight, you may or may not like the comedian they bring on. If you come to the fight, you may or may not like whatever they do at the intermission. But if you come to an NBC fight, all you're going to see is fights. So how are you going to get something that you don't like? You're going to get just stuff you like the whole time. Right? People told me, well, what about when people need to go to the bathroom? Get up and go to the bathroom during a fight that doesn't interest you. Believe me, we've got enough of them. You're not going to miss out. We're going to have tons and tons of fights. And really for us, it's mostly about the fighters. And we wanted to provide everybody we could with a fair fight, you know, more than just we'll get you a fight, we'll get you a fair fight.
Cool, very cool. I will tell you this, 100% sure that if you said it was in North Fort Myers, I live in Cape Coral, so I mean that's just 3 minutes from my house, so I will definitely be to the show in March, the charity show in March, and if I can do anything to assist you, if we can do anything here, bring some notoriety or whatever to it, you let me know. I'm going to request you here on Facebook in a minute, and then, I'll see if I can help you in any way I can. So,
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's we're really trying to do a lot for the kids out there. Jason runs that MMA program for kids after school, and that's one of the places where we really need it, and we need to be able to let everybody access martial arts. You know, martial arts has changed my life. Hey, if it's changed Jason's life, it changed Aaron's life. Hey, if my business partner Sam, it's a huge part of his life. And we want to share this with everybody. And when we get to help kids do that and help kids in martial arts, we're very, very happy to do it.
Good. You know, I was thinking about one thing. I was thinking about one thing you said before, Matt, I'm sorry.
No, you're good, man.
One question. One thing you said just as we started the interview, and I didn't get a chance to ask because just didn't fit in, but you said we're going to put on more fights than anybody this year. I'm curious, are you nervous that, you know, with like the cancellations of some bigger, you know, bigger promotion fights and things that, you know, putting on so many fights, you run the risk of injury, a lot of injury or things, or is just your roster just that big, or are you just pulling from a different pool when you put on different fights? Explain to me how you're going to put on so many fights in a year in a sport where injury just is what it is, you know?
we're putting on fights on a monthly basis in three different large markets. You know, Newport Richie is its own market, Tampa is its own market, and Fort Lauderdale, you know, is its own market. We're also going to try to get into Jacksonville and be down there at Cape Coral. So we're not doing shows, you know, every week with the same guys. We're doing shows with more guys than anywhere, and we're recruiting from not just in the U.S., across the world. We've had guys from Bolivia on our card. You know, we have guys from Venezuela going to be coming to the Tampa card. We have guys from everywhere. We saw Steven Esquivel. I believe that he came down to the beach brawl.
He's
in from Dallas, Texas.
Yep.
Yeah. So we get guys from all over. We go and we make sure that we get guys traveling in from all over. I think we've got guys from six different states on this next card and all over Florida. So the way that we do it is we get the fighters from everywhere, and there's plenty of guys that want to fight a fair fight. The reason that people don't want to do it as much is because typically promoters have set up bad fights, and as guys get set up in bad fights, they don't want to fight again. And so we set up good fights, and win or lose, those guys want to come back and they want to fight again because they have a fair fight. You go and look at the record of our card and see that most of our fights go to decision, you know that those are fairly matched, even fights. And that's really the recipe for ABC is fairly matched, even fights, a lot of them, and nothing but fights, and we do it for the fighters. We go out and people say, man, why do you do that, Sky? That's why you guys don't make as much money. That's why you guys aren't making money, because you've given all this stuff to the fighters. Well, the fighters are going to give back. We're very happy to do it. And for us, it's about the fighters, not about the money. And I think that especially in amateurs and how many guys have just jumped on the, I want to be a promoter because there's money in MMA, so let's start an amateur promotion where we don't have to pay the guys, is what's really hurting. You know, we provide cape and gauze for all the guys. We provide two nights hotel for everybody coming from out of town. Everybody who wins gets a trophy. We have the largest belts of anybody in Florida amateurs. And I want to know what you guys even think about this. We want to give away belts for amateurs every 5 pounds. We want to do that because we have so many fights and there's so many deserving fighters and we don't get to pay them. So what do you guys think? Does that actually water down the meaning of a title that it's every 5 pounds, or is the fact that we've got the biggest roster at all the weights, it's make those titles meaningful? And the fact that we have really the biggest belts, they're triple thick leather, and they're made with real gold. To me, it seems like a no-brainer that we want more titles.
Personally, I would think as an amateur fighter, I'm going in there and I'm not really making money at it yet. So, you know, I think that would be beneficial, and I think it's a great idea, to be honest with you.
Well, that's what we're really going for. You know, you go on the Facebook and I see sometimes some guys take shots at ABC, and it's amazing what they take shots at ABC for. They take shots at ABC for stuff like making a 160-pound title. Well, we made a 160-pound title because we have so many fight hits, and we had guys that were deserving of a title shot, and we gave them one. We got Richie Den fighting for the lightweight title, who actually won our 160 title. He's going to fight a guy who is a 5-0 BJJ black belt. And I really think that we've got the best fighters anywhere as far as amateur fighters. We got Jermaine Barnes is going to fight his last couple amateur fights with us, And if you guys have not seen him, go and check out our YouTube, Jermaine Barnes versus Garrett James. The best amateur fight I have ever seen. It's just a ridiculously, ridiculously good fight. And we just moved Jermaine into the pros, so he's going to do his last two fights with ABC, and then he's going to fight on the same card with me April 26th in New Orleans, which we didn't even get to talk about that, but I'm the co-main event for High Life Fights in the New Orleans Arena April 26th, and that's going to be on in 60 countries, and just a huge fight. I'm fighting an undefeated fighter with hands of steel. He just knocks people out on a regular basis, but I know I got a really hard chin, so I'm going to go hit him up, and I got Jermaine on that card with me, and I'm getting some other people some fights down here in Puerto Rico, and we're actually working to make sure that ABC fighters who are amateurs and ready to go pro get that opportunity, and I go so far as to say if you win 5 fights with ABC, I personally guarantee I'll get you a pro fight.
Right on, man. Right on. Well, I hate to do this. We're gonna have to call this interview part one, I guess, because we'll have to have you on again sometime very, very soon. There's a lot more to talk about with this guy. You know, like I said to begin, you're a very, very busy guy. Quickly, it was a great interview, man. Thanks for being with us tonight. Before we let you go,
thank you.
Hey,
before you guys stop, I got to give a shout out to Ivelisse Ramos, my baby. Hey, I love you. I lose any vida. So, sorry, guys. If I didn't do that before I got off, I'd be killed when I go. So, I'm hoping for some loving tonight.
Right on, man. Right on. Well, Sky, thanks for being with us, man. We'll talk soon, and like I said, we'll get you back on the show again here real soon, and we'll set you up for a much longer interview, and we'll talk a lot of stuff, man. So in the meantime, best of luck with your fight, man. On February 1st, like you said, it was a Maximo Fighting Championships, Maximo 19, and check out Fight ABC, abcfight.com for all of the upcoming stuff that they have. Fightabc.com for all the upcoming events. And
Or AmericanBattleChampionships.com. Either way, you're going to get to the same site, fightabc.com, AmericanBattleChampionships.com. And then if you want to see me, skyfights.info.
Right on, man, right on. All right, Sky, well, take care, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, thank you so much, guys. Oof.
See you later, man.
You know, it was a good interview. I had fun with him. He's light-hearted. Informative. I don't think I've ever talked to a fighter looking for a little nookie when he gets home for the wife. So good for him.
Yeah, that was interesting, man. He had to give a no secret what he was hoping for when he got home, man. He's an awesome dude. Like I said, I've talked to him a little bit prior to tonight. You know, we've been in contact lately. I recently did a two articles kind of about the ABC and what they've got going on. So, awesome guy. I don't know what we're getting.
You jumping in a pool?
I'm sitting in a computer chair in front of a computer.
Me too.
Maybe Carl swimming.
But you know, hockey started. Maybe he's sharpening the skates right now. Hockey just started
up,
so.
Hey, I'm psyched about that, man. I can't tell you how much I've been missing hockey. Man. Down here for the Lightning, I can pick up Lightning tickets day of for $5-$10. I go to Lightning games all the time. I love it. And I'm psyched. I can't wait.
I promise you this. I give you my word on this. My son and I are going to make the trip up to see the Sabres when they come on the play. Born and raised in Buffalo, and I bleed the blue and gold. So I will definitely be up to see them.
Right on, man. Right on. We're going to jump right into it. Carl's already got Curtis ready to go. Give a little promo about this guy. Curtis Mighty Mouse Vert, 1-0 as an amateur. 3 fights coming up over the next month or so. Dude is an absolute beast. Like I said, to start off the show, I've had the unfortunate of being slammed by this guy, and I have not felt many things that hurt as much as that. He's an awesome dude, and we'll jump right in it, man. Curtis Mighty Mouse Vert, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Hey, no problem, man. glad to finally get you on the show. You know, we've had a lot of Gator guys on, and just haven't had the chance to get you on. But it is now your time, man. You are a busy man over the next month. You booked for 3 fights. So real quick, before we jump into what's coming up, what has gotten you to where you are today? And, you know, what's your passion, and how'd you get into the MMA scene?
Well, let's see. I am recently, I'm originally from Washington State, the West Coast. Just moved out here in August to pursue my dream of fighting. 29 now. I wanted to fight when I was younger. Had some tribulations in life and went down the wrong road, so I didn't get that chance. But now I have that chance and moved down to Florida to pursue that with my wife and my son. And just getting into it, like I said, just started. Never done it before. Like you said, 1-0, and I got 3 fights booked for some good promotions, and looking forward to go out there and show them that I'm ready to go to the next level.
Right on, man. Yeah, he's booked for World Class Fight League next Saturday, the 19th. You're booked for, February 8th, Florida Combat Challenge 4, and then February 22nd, the ABC card here in Newport Richey, right around the corner. It's like a hop, skip, and jump away from Gator MMA, which will be nice. I think that's going to cause big things for the gym, big things for Gator MMA, having some nice fight cards every month going on right around the corner. So as far as Gator MMA goes, man, how'd you get involved with Gator, and how have you liked being there so far?
I got involved. Actually, before I moved down last August, I researched the gyms around for about a year and was, you know, pretty obsessive with finding the right gym, and just happened to be, I found that gym, and first one I went to see if I liked it, and right away I liked it and decided to stay there. I mean, not only do we have some, you know, people like Corey Hill and other big names, you know, Sergeant Pittman and some other fighters that come in there, it's, you know, good price, family orientated, and a really nice, well-rounded gym with every aspect of the MMA world.
Yeah, man. There's a big variety, diversity there in the gym of martial art forms. You know, we got a lot of different guys coming in with lots of great knowledge, and it's an awesome to be a part of it. I've enjoyed the couple months I've been there meeting everybody, and you know, I know as watching you guys train, watching the fighters get ready for fights and stuff, you know, it brings a whole new perspective to me as a writer when I get to come in there and train alongside you guys. And except for the days when I have, you know, I've had to roll with you because I end up leaving there with some sort of an injury and almost thinking about not coming back. But let's talk about your upcoming fights. First of all, you've got the fight coming up next weekend with the World Class Fight League. And you just talk about, you know, what how you're getting ready, what you're doing to cut weight, and what you're expecting out of that fight.
I've been the last 4 nights at the gym. You know, tonight was an easy night, you know, just some one-on-one working on some technique. But pretty much the last 3 nights, it's been going hard, 4 to 5 hours a night, nonstop training, working on my hand, the ground game. We have the local high school bringing in their wrestlers, you know, it's nonstop working takedowns. Pretty much just training my butt off. I really want to progress in this fight thing, so every time I go in there, you know, I try to soak in as much as I can and learn as much as I can. And I'm pretty comfortable with the upcoming fight. I'm fighting a debut guy from Gracie. My ground's pretty well. I'm not in the belt system because I don't do gi, but I have done Copa and local Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournaments, and I placed 3rd and 1st after only a month or two of training. So I'm pretty comfortable with my ground game. Been working on my hands. I really liked my last game. I took my guy down, my last fight, took him down for 3 rounds, unanimous decision. I didn't even get a mark on me. Broke 2 of his ribs. So this next fight, I want to show class my stand-up, because I already know if we go to the ground what I can do. So I'd like to show my other aspect for this promotion and show my stand-up, and really like to get a first-round knockout. That's the goal.
Right on, man. Yeah, and like you said, you know, his His first fight there, the guy wanted to go to the ground, and you took him down and ground and pounded him there into the body for quite a few while and broke a couple of his ribs, which I'm sure didn't feel good for him. And he was probably sitting there as those ribs are cracking thinking, man, I wish I wouldn't have taken this guy down.
Yeah.
Mighty Mouse is definitely not a name that's given to somebody. Mighty Mouse is a name that's earned and pack a lot of strength and a lot of power into that into your frame, man. So, you know, after the World Class Fight League, like I said, you know, you're fighting for the World Class Fight League is a phenomenal promotion. Those guys are awesome. We're probably going to have Ralph and Dwayne on the show next week, talk to them a little bit about you and some of the other fighters. But those guys are awesome dudes. And, you know, another Dion DeLauder at the Florida Combat Network, you know, you'll be fighting on, you're scheduled to fight at his card on FCC 4. That's another big one, man. The FCC, I was at FCC 3, and they bring out a lot of a big crowd. So, I mean, what do you know? Do you know anything about the? Do you have an opponent for that fight yet, or are you still just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen?
We've contacted him, and he has my weight, and he has like four guys in my weight, and he's just crunching some names, and there's definitely an opponent. We're just waiting for the name back because he's getting matchups. You know, he's trying to match them up evenly, so. We're just giving them the time, and we're waiting for a name back on that one. So
right on.
Hey, Curtis. First of all, thanks for joining us tonight, and you know, best of luck in your career. But I have just a question. You started the interview off by saying you had some tribulations in life and whatnot. Can you give us, you know, our listeners a little bit of background on Curtis Vert, and just let us know where you came from. Kind of, I mean, I know, you know, I totally respect if you don't want to get into everything. Just give us a little background on who you are, where you're from, what you enjoy doing. You said you had a wife and son. You know, I have a wife and two boys, so I relate there. But give our listeners just a little bit of background on who you are, Bob.
Yeah, no problem. I'm actually not proud of my back from my what I've done in my life, but I'm not scared or not shy to talk about it because it's made me who I am today. But when I was 19, back it up a little younger, 13, Pops passed away, moved out of my house, rough life, you know, running the streets and all that, fighting, kicked out of high schools. Fast forward, it's 19 years old, got into some trouble, running with the wrong people, ended up in prison for 5 years. I did 5 years in prison from 2003 to 2008. I got out and with my wife that, we have known each other for a long time, and she wrote me and stuff, and then we ended up getting together and had my son in 2008, and I have one son. He's 4 now, and from there on out, I've just been in no trouble, just the straight road, you know, at first working 2 jobs just to support my family, and day in, day out, just doing the grind, and then the opportunity came to move to Florida with a little bit of help to stay with her her parents, which are my in-laws, just until we get our own place, which is coming up next month, and to pursue our dreams, and she's in school, and I'm doing the MMA world, and I just want to show all the people from my hometown and people that know me and my upbringing and the life of, you know, drugs in the streets that no matter how bad it gets or what you do, there's always a way out, and you can always turn it around, and if you want it bad enough, that you can succeed and become anything that you want in life.
You know what, man, you have a young son, you know, you're going to be able to instill that in him, and I give you a lot of props, man. I work in a profession where I see a lot of kids who are running the streets, and they just don't turn themselves around, and you know, it's, you know, you should be very proud of that. And you know, you spent some time in jail and whatnot, and being able to get out, and you know, a lot of people return. So, you know, good for you. Best of luck to you, man, and everything you do. And you know, you got to be proud, and you got to look at your son, and you got to say, see, you know, anything's possible. So, but you know, congratulations on that for sure.
So, thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely, man. How did you get started? You said the dream of MMA. How did it become a dream? How did you say, I think I want to get punched in the face for a living? I don't know. It seems like something to do.
You don't get punched in the face, Jason.
I'm something, you know, in my neighborhood and stuff, in the schools. I'm known, you know, I got a little reputation. And you got, if you see me, I'm 5'4", but I'm stacked. You know, I've always been in good physical shape, and I'm strong as hell, but I'm short and stocky, and that's
yeah, no
where
kidding.
The name Mighty Mouse comes from. So, you know, was in my neighborhood, you know, had the nickname. I was always beating up, you know, bigger dudes all through high school, dudes that are, you know, way older than me and stuff, and I've always been fighting, like, that I can count, you know, over 27 street fights before the age of 19, and then throw a couple more in there from the prison time. And that's just the way I was doing it, and I'm not shy of contact. I've been hit plenty of times. I got scars. I've been busted with a lot of things, and, you know, I just started watching UFC and stuff, and I'm like, you know, these guys are getting paid all this money to fight, and they're not going to jail for it. And I'm like, you know, I can do that, you know, and I got out, and I'm like, you know, I can do that. And then I had my son and, you know, put it off for 4 years, and then the chance, you know, happened, and I'm like, okay, well, now I can do it. I can go do it. You know, I'm 29 now, but I'm still in excellent shape, took care of myself, and, you know, it was a dream, like, you know, it just became a dream, you know, probably 10 years ago. It's like, I want to do that because I've been there and I watched these fights and I'm like, man, I can do that. You know what I mean? Because I've done that. And I'm like, I can do that in the ring and get a paycheck and not have to worry about going to jail for beating someone up. Why not?
That's
you know,
right.
Sign me up. So that's where
I
went.
I respect it. So you're likes to fight guy. That's what I called it my buddy in high school. Same way, likes to fight guy. But I appreciate it. There's, you know, there's a niche for everybody. So, but listen, I got to ask you something. On the Team Assassin fight page, you said you're 5'4". It's got you as 5'6". Who's lying here?
Yeah, I'm 5'4". That's
your 5'5".
That's my old. That's to clear some things up. That's my old promoter. I don't fight for Team Assassin no more. Had some bad blood between me and that promotion and that promoter, and I'm now fighting for Gator MMA. We split, so I now fight for Gator MMA. Which is Daniel Blevins, and, you know, Matt knows a lot about that. He's hands-on with our gym, so he knows a lot. Yeah, I'm not Team Assassin no more, so we got to get that changed. But, yeah, I'm only 5'4", and that's like if I'm wearing platforms. No, I'm just joking, but no, I'm 5'4".
That's what I was wondering, because I was like, he says 5'4", and they give him 5'6" here, but no, I'm not trying to give you any reps for work, you know, another gym and whatever. I know Matt speaks very highly of you, speaks very highly of Gator MMA, so, you know, it's got to be a good place to be. But I just wanted to clear that up. I didn't know if you were standing on a box when they took that height, that measurement there.
Yeah, no, I think they're just trying to make me look a little taller because I am short. But for what I lack in height, I definitely make up in strength and muscle. So,
well, good for you, bro. All
right. Yeah, right. What's on. Up? Yeah, just basically, I know, Jason's been a busy man the last couple of weeks, and we talked about this a few weeks back, Jason. Just basically, like Curtis said, there's some bad blood there at Gator and with Team Assassin. So, you know, a couple of people at Gator parted ways. They went on. It was a mutual parting. You know, the guys that run the place sat down and just said, you know, this isn't working out. So, you know, somebody went ahead, took off, parted ways, left. And it's back to just Gator MMA now. Everything that comes out of there is Gator MMA. There's no Global MMA, no Team Assassin. It's all about Gator. And like Curtis said, Daniel Blevins and his wife, you cannot forget his wife. And I've done this in the past where I talk about how much Daniel does, and I haven't talked about how much Christine does. But it's a team there with Daniel and Christine. For everything he's doing on the scenes, she's doing just as much behind the scenes. And they run a great organization. And like I was saying in the beginning of the show, Curtis, I was telling him how since kind of, you know, that stuff went down and, you know, some people parted ways, the gym's getting healthier. It's getting more packed. We got classes going on there now. We've got lots of stuff being taught, getting back to the basics, drill and repetition. Curtis, Dean, Ladarius, Z, everyone, they're just all the team of fighters that are there are getting better and stronger. And it's going to be big things for Gator MMA and big things for guys like Curtis. You know, there's a big team of young, hungry fighters there, and Curtis is one of them by you know, big time, you know. So, I didn't mean to, like, kind of take away from your interview, Curtis. I just wanted to touch base on him and kind of let him know. But what's, you know, we got few more minutes with you. What's the long-term goals, man? You know, like, I know we've talked a little bit, and you don't want to stop anywhere short of being number one. So, I mean, what's the goals? What ultimately, what do you want to get out of this the MMA career?
My goals, I have long-term, and, you know, right now I'm focusing on the next three fights, of course, because those are my steps to the long-term, you know, because no one climbs a mountain in one step. So we're gonna start with the next three fights, and then from there I'm hoping to be back at World Class Fight League in March for short-term goals for a title fight for my weight class, and then that'll put me at five fights, and then I think I'm going to do about another five and look to turn pro by the end of the year. And then from pro, my plan is into the UFC, either straight in or through Ultimate Fighter, which I've watched every season and been a big fan of. And I would like to go in through that door or straight in or even go through Bellator. But my plan is ultimately within, you know, and I say this, you know, I want to say 3 to 5 years. I want to say three. I want to be in the UFC holding the belt for the 135. So that's my goal, and I feel that if I work hard and dedication, then I can be there. And I say that because I've never been in a gym, never wrestled in high school, never fought in my life except on the streets. And within 5 months of training and being in a gym, I've already won first and third in grappling tournaments, and I'm 1-0 in the MMA with three fights booked and high promoters, you know, well-known promoters. So obviously I'm doing something right.
Right on, man.
You know, you got to, Curtis, you got to keep that mentality, brother. You got to keep that, you're going to do big things if you keep that, that drive and that will and just wanting to, you know, prove everybody wrong and you know, prove yourself right. So, you know, just stay the course, man. And like you said earlier, all things are possible. So good luck to you, man.
And I got to say one more thing. You know, every fighter has a drive to why they fight and stuff. And, you know, I honestly got to say that my drive and the plan from the beginning is that I want to provide for my family and my wife and my son. I want my son to have the life that I never had. So if I have to sacrifice myself and go out there and fight and get a little beat up so that I can buy a house and know that that's our house and call our own, and he can have a future and we can be financially stable, then that's what I'm going to do, because whatever it takes, I'm going to go do it. So.
Right on, man. Well, before we let you go, man, I know we probably got some shout-outs. Go ahead, give shout-outs and how people can find you, you know, whether Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is like that, man. Just go ahead and give your shout-outs.
Yeah, I'd like to give thanks and shout-outs to Gator MMA and, you know, of course, Matt for giving me a chance to be on this show and get my name out there and my voice and be heard. And Coach Blevins, his wife Christine, and all our program at Gator MMA is all excellent. Brandon Watts, ex-pro fighter, for working with us and stuff and getting me ready. And, God, there's so many people. And the promotions, you know, World Class Fight League and all these promotions for giving me a chance to be on their fight cards and stuff. And just anyone and everyone that's trained with me, rolled with me, helped me in any way, I just want to give a big thanks. And people can find me at Curtis Vert on Facebook. As far as I know, there's no other Verts in the world, and I've looked up. I think I'm the last of my family line on the Vert name, so I'm not hard to find. I have a Facebook that's active with all MMA Madhouse and all my fights, videos, pictures, and all that. So people can find me on there and whichever way and how they want. And I just hope to be on the next level, and hopefully I can get back with you guys on a show on a follow-up after these fights in a month and see where I'm at. I hope I'm 4-0 by then. So, and that's about all I can think of right now. I'm actually on my way to go shark fishing. That's my second hobby. So,
fair enough.
Right on, man. Well, Curtis, have a good night, man. Have fun with that. I'm sure I don't know what your schedule is, but I'll be at the gym tomorrow. If you're there, man, I'll see you. So,
I work tomorrow night, but I will definitely, I'll be in there all week next week, and then I'll see you next week, and then you'll definitely be at the fight. So, looking forward to seeing you at the fight and talking. So,
All right, man. Take it easy, Curtis.
Best of luck, Peter.
Once again, Matt. Once again, I have to say thanks, Matt. So.
Hey, no problem, Curtis.
All right. See you soon, bud.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Bye. You too. Bye.
Now, Jason, I know that towards the beginning of that interview, you heard him mention Corey Hill coming by and training at the gym with us.
Now, yeah, absolutely.
On that subject, I was not. This show was not ending tonight before I got to brag about the fact that one of my longtime favorite fighters, Corey Hill, guy I've known for years, used to live across the street from me, know him on a personal level, know how good of a guy he is. I got to live roll with him last night. We did some submission grappling. I was totally geeking out over that, man. It was so cool rolling with a guy who I've got such a high respect for, and he's one of my favorite fighters for the fact that he's such a good dude, and I followed him for years. One of the first fighters I really liked and I really got into when I first started watching MMA because he was such a cool guy to me. He came over to my house one day, gave me some signed stuff, gave me one of his shirts. I actually wore that shirt to the gym last night because I knew he'd be there. He had a good laugh over that. He said that's one of his. He said that shirt's a classic. He said you know, that thing's got to be worth money. It's got to be hard to find. It's an old school shirt from when he was on the Pat Miletic fight team. So I just can't describe how big of an honor that was getting to roll with him for a few minutes last night.
Oh, man, that's I don't know. We always talk about how good MMA dudes are, and you know that's fun. You get a chance to meet somebody you kind of look up to, you kind of appreciate, you kind of, respect, and you get something to, you get a chance to do something you love to do with them. So that's, you're good for you, man. That's fun. That's a good time.
He's a real busy dude, but he's going to be coming into the gym a couple days a week, I believe. You know, he just came off that XFC 21 loss, and it was an unfortunate loss, but he's got some, I think he's got another XFC fight coming up soon. He's trying, I don't know if I won't drop any names on who he's trying to fight, but he is calling somebody out here locally. He wants to fight at, Fight Time Promotions, and he's trying to get a fight with someone specific. I won't say the name just in case that's not public knowledge, but that guy so far doesn't want to fight him, and he's kind of trying to avoid fighting him, so hopefully this guy's going to step up and take the fight, and Corey can get in there and make him regret doing that, so... it's a shame.
No,
you're dodging fights. You know, if somebody calls you out, fight them. Prove that you're. If you think you're better than them, prove it. Get in the ring and get in the cage and fight them. Don't dodge them.
Well, yeah, but that's what you get paid to do. You're a fighter. I mean, it's the profession you chose. I mean, you know, if you work at a McDonald's and somebody said, "I want a burger," and you're just like, "No, I'm not going to give you a burger today," that's just a waste of time. But you're a fighter. Somebody says, "I want to fight you," fight me. You know, I don't know. That's just my personal opinion, I guess. I'm not a fighter, you know, and if some dude like Corey Hill's calling me out, I probably wouldn't take it either, but, you know, I don't know.
Corey was, he came by last night and he came right in and did a few minutes of warm-up and jumped right in. And people, we were, Coach Daniel was just throwing guys in there back-to-back to roll with him. Me and Corey rolled for a few minutes kind of showed me a few different things, and then he started rolling with some of the fighters. You know, I'm obviously not one of the fighters and don't even... attempt to be one, so Corey definitely took it easy with me, but you know what, I'm going to pause real quick because we've made it an hour into the show without giving a shout out to our sponsors, which I'm kind of pissed at myself for doing it. I didn't even realize we did that, but
we can't be doing that, but we got to pay the bills somehow. We got to show love and appreciation.
Yeah, we jumped right into things tonight and just totally forgot it. I want to apologize, and our sponsors, BrawlBase.com, CrossroaderClothing.com, who recently have signed on to stay with us for a while now. So big shout-out to Crossroader Clothing. Thank you big time for what you're doing. Thank you, BrawlBase.com, for what you're doing. And, of course, GatorMMA.com. Check them out. The Gator MMA guys have a lot of fights coming up. They're booked all over the place. Check out those great places that are all doing big things for the sport. I also want to give a shout-out to MMAtopics.net. It's a sister website to MMA Madhouse. It's a new up-and-coming thing, and it's rising big time. That's being run, owned, operated by our very own Chris Gregory. So best of luck to you, Chris, doing that stuff, man. We'll support you here on the show. And Chris is just so dialed into his MMA scene there in his KC area, Kansas City area, and all throughout that state and all throughout the United States, for really. I mean, Chris is a busy, busy dude, and he's just he's connected just about everywhere he goes. So big shout out to Chris, man. Going to be doing top-notch things there with MMAtopics.net. So, and obviously, always I like to give a shout out to GoFight Live, GFL.TV, because they promo our show every week. You go on GFL.TV, you're going to see our show listed every Thursday under MMA shows. So give a big shout out to those guys for doing that for us. I don't even remember where we were, what we were talking about. We're about to jump in with the one and only, the ghost, Andrew Gonitsky here. I said a little bit about him at the beginning of the show. This dude's a beast, man. This is a heavyweight phenom waiting to happen. He's 1-0, and he's got a fight coming up next Saturday. He's on that World Class Fight League 2 card as well. And I'm excited. This guy tore through his opponent. His opponent stepped in the cage looking way out of shape. But nonetheless, he stepped in the cage for a fight, and Andrew brought to him a fight in a big, big way. And I know Andrew's going to have a big, big force to be messed with in the heavyweight division all across the MMA world. So we're going to jump on him here in a few minutes. Big shout out to him too. We'll definitely say thanks to him because he's going to be coming at us on his break. He's working the night shift there and taking some time to talk with us. And with no further ado, we'll jump in it, man. Andrew, the one and only Ghost Gonitsky, man. How you doing, bro?
Hey, brother, man. I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing real good, man. Excited to talk with you. You know, we haven't had the chance to talk before. I saw you fight at the World Class Fight League card, and I just was thanking God that I was not the guy in the cage with you. So ever since that moment, I've been like, man, I got to talk with him. You know, I actually spotted you out at the Global MMA card a couple weeks ago. I guess you were out there supporting a teammate or something. We didn't get a chance to talk, but I did see you there, and that refreshed in my mind. I was like, I got to get in touch with this guy. I got to get him on the show. And no better time to do it than, you know, a week before your next upcoming fight, man. So how you doing? What are you doing to get ready for the fight?
Man, I'm doing good. First off, I want to say, you know, definitely blessed to be on this. I appreciate the, you know, support and definitely respect off to you guys. Yeah, I was at that fight a couple weeks ago supporting a guy I trained with, David Niemoyer, out of Omega MMA. Other than that, you know, to me, that first fight, it was a little nerve-wracking, of course, for anybody in their first fight, you know, but I went in there, handled my business, did what I had to do, thought about my daughters before the fight, and went in there and just laid it all down real fast. So the next fight, though, oh, man, I've been doing a lot of mixed training, messing with, you know, just strictly Ralph Garcia. Master Ralph Garcia, Nelson Del Valle, you know, just doing a lot of different things. I definitely, I'm going to bring a lot to the table, you know, to the heavyweight division, period. Put Florida on the map for a good reason. You know, I got a lot to fight for.
Right on, man. And, you know, since you just touched on Rafael Garcia, man, what's it like, you know, you guys both, if I'm not mistaken, you guys both train at a world-class martial arts, correct?
Yes, sir.
What's that like?
He's more than a mentor. He's more than a coach. He's more than an owner. He's more than a boss. He's like a big brother. You know, I used to street fight, and coming out of street fighting, his exact words were, you know, that stuff dies when you walk into these doors. So he took me out of it. Turned me into this, you know, and you know, he helped turn my life around. I'll put it that way. And that was approximately 6 years ago. Eddie the Hulk Hernandez was the one that introduced me to him.
Right on, man. You know, it actually answered my question. I was going to ask, you know, how is your relationship with Rafael and what's he like as a person? But you answered that. I've met him a few times, and he's never been anything but a very, very genuine, nice, a real person. You know, at that fight card, I was kind of sitting up in the VIP section, kind of just out of the way of everything, and multiple times throughout the night, he came to me, you know, how you doing, man? You need anything? You want me to get you a drink? And I got to say, that's the only fight I've been to where one of the promoters has done that. You know, the promoters, those guys have lots of things going on all night, and just shows his character, him and Dwayne Spires, both awesome guys, and you couldn't be starting your career with a better amateur promotion, in my opinion, so... that's awesome for you. What do you know about your opponent coming up here at WCFL 2?
What do I know about Ryan Brinson? I know he is a very, very large man. And unfortunately, I got to witness him beat up an old teammate of mine for his first fight. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say it because I'm a very blunt person. But he beat the hell out of my guy, you know, at Florida Combat Challenge number one at the Tilted Kilt in Tampa. You know, I seen some explosiveness out of him, and you know that's all I want. You know, I don't like fighting quick fights. I want something that's gonna, you know, bring out the best in everybody. You know, and watching him do what he did to my guy, it was kind of like a little torch that got lit underneath me. And you know, I was disappointed in the guy that used to train with us. He trained for a little bit and then he left our school. Can't tell you why. You know, some people ain't cut for this. You know, they take a loss and they go cry and then they don't come back. And unfortunately, this sport is not for everyone.
Absolutely.
Well, Ryan Brinson brought a lot to the table, and I feel I got a lot to bring to him. So.
Right on, man. Well, I was wondering if my co-host is still there. I wanted my co-host to jump
in.
I'm here.
I'm here. I'm just listening. I'm, you know, absolutely just listening. I just want to, just a quick question, Andrew. How you said you said you came from street fighting. Is that how? I mean, how do you get even started in street fighting? Just like, you know, you just kind of got down the wrong path, kind of thing. Or I mean, you know, give me a little insight on that. I don't know much about the street fight game then into MMA. I guess it's an easy transition, I'd imagine, but, you know, so clue me in on something.
The never backing down part, that the whole movie thing of never backing down, that's kind of, that's how it is when it's street fighting. And unfortunately, it starts illegally. Oh, it's illegal, period. You know, but there's money involved, there's wages involved, but there's, you know, life risks. You know, there isn't insurance involved. You know, you break something, you're
right,
so
yeah.
You know, you die, you're SOL. Jersey, growing up in Jersey, you know, I moved here when I was 18. I'm 26 now. Growing up in Jersey, you know, I was always counted as the outcast. I always wanted to be the opposing and be with the wrong people, this, that, and the third. I actually used to be a basketball player. that was supposed to be my goal in life. But, you know, God chose something else. I picked up fighting from my older brothers. They you know, they showed me how to get down, this, that, and the third, protect myself, yada, 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 yada. And then one day I had went to a party in Newark, New Jersey, and being a white boy, that's almost not real smart. We went to the backyard, and wagers were being thrown out, and fights were going on, and that's pretty much where it started. And when I moved to Tampa, when I was 18, I was walking down an Ybor Strip, and, you know, I had heard some people say some stuff, and there's a certain warehouse down there where people were fighting and wagers and stuff were involved, and, you know, it just backyard fighting, street fighting, if you could fight, you could fight, you know what I'm saying? And I knew it wasn't going to do anything good for me. It wasn't something that I was going to be able to retire from. It wasn't something I was absolutely proud of. It was just quick money, quick and easy money. That's all anybody wants nowadays, especially when they're growing up at that age.
Right.
First fight I ever went to was a XFC fight, and Dave paid me Yost. beat the hell out of his opponent, and I was awed by it. I was like, wow, you know, that's what's up. And then I seen Eddie the Hulk Hernandez put a dude in a rear naked choke and had the dude's blood squirting out his nose like venom just from the choke. I knew that's what I wanted to do. there's no question involved. There's money, it's legal, and insurance. I'm good. You know, let's do it.
I gotta say, growing up, I was sheltered. I grew up in a small town, and I wish. I had no idea even that stuff really existed. I thought that was all just, you know, hearsay and whatever. And I think it's a great story. I really do. And I think that's something you should be proud of, that you're able, again, you know, you're able to move past and you know, get into, you know, MMA. And I just watched your fight against Paul Ramirez, or Raul Ramirez.
Yeah.
That, I feel bad for that fella. But I was telling Matt earlier when he was telling me who we were had guests on. I'm a big guy myself, so I'm always partial to the heavyweights. So, what kind of training do you do? What's your favorite aspect of MMA and your favorite discipline? And what discipline you feel like is your weakest and you need to kind of move that to the forefront?
Unfortunately, I can't put a label on what my best aspect is or what my worst aspect is, because I label myself as an all-around fighter. You know, that's one thing Ralph told me from the front door. You know, after just a few months of training, he's like, are you sure you've never wrestled? Are you sure you've never taken jiu-jitsu? Are you sure you've never boxed? Are you sure this? Are you sure that? I mean, I can't speak for the next man, and I can't speak for him or anybody else, but, you know, I can only take from that, those questions, you know, you're all-around skilled, you know, because you are good at stand-up. You are decent on the ground. You are good at this. You are good at that. You know, I mean, of course, everybody has a weakness, and I would be stupid to expose that right now. But
sure. Yeah. After I said that, I realized you were going into a fight, so that's my fault.
No, it's all good. And, you know, I know I've got a few people listening on to the radio station right now who are waiting for me to slip, because as cool and calm and collective as I am and humble now, you know, that's thanks to the good Lord Jesus Christ. There is a few people that wish bad upon me, and I can guarantee you I will be calling out a few people here in the next few fights, and I will be stepping in the cage and handling my business, because people seen my first fight and they doubted it. You know, they doubted it, and then they seen, and I'm hearing through the grapevines that how sloppy it was. But let me go ahead and jump back to that fight real quick. I started off with a front kick to his chest, and with that, I hooked him 3-4 times. He went to the ground. Okay, cool, I backed up. I didn't throw my hands up as a disrespectful gesture at him, like, you know, what's up, get up. No, it was not like that at all. It was so the referee didn't beat my ass for thinking I was going to jump on top of him, you know. So I back on up, and then when we go for round two, I threw an ugly right jab. And, you know, that's because the dude was 5'10". I'm 6'6". You know, it was a bad throw. I shouldn't have thrown it. Now, when everybody's seen my left hand going around Raul's head, it wasn't nasty throws that I was doing. I was actually taking the back of his head and pulling him into my right-handed hooks. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it looks ugly on YouTube. It sounds ugly, but respectfully, you can ask Raul how them punches felt. You know,
I'm pretty positive I can see how they felt.
Well, no, like I said, I just wanted to go ahead and clear that air because, you know, and like I said again, you guys are listened to throughout everybody around here. You know, everybody in MMA, at least who I speak to, listen to this radio station. So I'm just making sure that the people that are listening to this, you know, throw on their glasses and their cute little hats, you know, and they really think about what it is I'm saying. Because even though they were ugly, they hurt. And they hurt a lot. And this, I guarantee it.
This is one of my favorite parts about doing radio shows. I love when I get a chance to get somebody on and they're very candid and very open. And they, you know, anytime you want to call anybody out, you are more than welcome to come on here. And we will, this is an absolute venue for you to call anybody out, because I love the drama.
Absolutely.
I just don't want to be involved in it. I just love to hear people get called out. It's one of my favorite things in the fight game, and I wish you nothing but the best, my man.
Well, I definitely appreciate it. You know, I mean, it was my first fight, you know, so it is what it is. You know, some people have two fights. Some people have three fights. Some people get comfortable. You know, their brothers and cousins have been in the cage their whole lives, yada, yada. I'm still new to this. You know,
I'm still
brand new to this. And, you know, my coaches, Ralph Garcia and Nelson Del Valle, you know, and my entire world-class martial arts team is helping me get my mind right. Because in old circumstances like this, when people, you know, start running their, what do you Florida guys call? Oh, running their gator. You know, when you go running your gator, you usually go and handle that business right then and there. But you know what? I'm grown. You know, this is legal. Hey, somebody has an issue with me, hey, come right to me. Don't go around the bush. Don't beat around the bush. Don't go to your coach who goes to my coach. And it's that they're world-class martial arts. We are a world-class act. We're very respectful. We respect everybody. But as soon as you cross that line, don't expect to hop back on the good side. You know what I mean? And me as an individual, when you cross that line, there is no coming back. So I may shake your hand and, you know, have a good day and bless you, you know, be upon you. But I'm always going to have my thoughts. You know, look, you were just talking trash and now you're kissing my ass. And it's going to happen because it happens all the time.
I love it.
You know, on the subject of some opponents, I'm not going to ask you to name those opponents that you want to call out, but there is somebody I want to see you fight, a local guy, another local guy who I've seen fight, and I don't know how much you know about him. I don't know if you have any association with him. I just think that with no bad blood involved or no bad feelings, I think it would be a great, great heavyweight fight, and that's you and Dominic Tominelli. I don't know how much you know him, but I feel like you guys would just match up good for nothing more than just a great local fight, you know?
Yeah. I definitely was hoping you were going to throw somebody else's name out there, but no, Dominic, I absolutely know nothing about him. I have seen a video or two of his, but I think those were involved in New York.
Yeah, he did come from somewhere, Connecticut, I think, is where a lot of
yeah.
stuff
okay,
is.
Up north. Yeah, I seen some type of fighting from up north. And I seen his fight, this last fight at the MMA Solutions over there in St. Pete. And I looked at his fight with that guy the same way I looked at my fight with Raul. You know,
I agree completely.
I have to say that's how the matchup was set up. Now,
yeah.
I have nothing to do with that. You throw somebody at me, I'm fighting. But from what I seen, he was very respectful. He showed his opponent much, much love. You know, as
yep.
do I, you know, and I tip my hat to him. You know, I didn't go there to see him. I went there to see David, you know, and David walked away with a victory also. But when I seen that fight, I was like, wow, you know, this dude's an impressive heavyweight.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. I think the two of you guys, you know, you guys had, like you said, you don't know him. You guys are on different lives, different paths, but I think the both of you guys have big careers in the future MMA, and maybe not on the local scene, but I just have this feeling you guys may meet one day in a fight because you guys just look like two ferocious heavyweight fighters. And I just, you know, a lot of time to time there are MMA fights that are set up on there's people you want, specific people you want to fight, and then there's just people out there who would make great matchups, and I think the two of you guys would make a phenomenal matchup. So I hope your paths cross one day, like you said, though, you know, in a respectful and sportsmanship way, where you guys
Definitely.
Can put on a great fight for the fans and hold each other's hands up at the end of the fight and walk away with respect for each other. So I just
yeah,
think
the way
God,
he
I didn't
finished
know,
the way he finished his fight, the way he ended it, you know, afterwards, hand being raised and all, you know, it's fighters like that that earn my respect. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat and BS. But I don't watch too much UFC. I don't watch too much MMA. I do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not worried about the next person. I'm worried about me. I'm worried about the opponent, the person I'm going to be fighting. So, yeah, I'm going to watch you. Yeah, I'm going to study you a little bit, this, that, and the third. But, you know, I'm not really too big into the watching TV. Oh, did you see with Anderson Silva? No, I didn't, because I was working. You know, I got two daughters and a wife. You know, I go ahead and do it. See, you know, life is hard right now. I'm a juvenile corrections officer at a level 6 facility in Wymama, Florida. You know, my dedication is to helping these kids rehabilitate their lives. You know, it's a level 6 facility, which is a 6 to 9 month program, and it gives these kids a chance to turn their negative into positive. And actually, Dwayne had got a hold of me recently and, you know, told me, you know, because of the program I work at, you know, he wanted to help me help these kids. But unfortunately, you know, the funds here at the program weren't enough to pay for staff to watch the kids go off campus, you know, because everybody has to be on the, you know, time clock. But, you know, unfortunately, they won't be able to see me fight, you know, like they wanted to. But I wanted to show them, you know, it ain't fighting people look at it and say it's gruesome, it's this, it's that, it's bad, it's negative, that's BS. Because if these kids who are killing each other nowadays at 12, 13, 14, 15 years old over this, that, and a third, you know, 12-year-olds carrying guns, if they can see that you got grown men that can step in a cage, fight each other, step out, and hold hands and give each other a hug afterwards, you know, that gives these kids a visual that, okay, after this fight, I don't have to go grab my gun and kill him now.
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
That's a phenomenal point, man. Phenomenal point.
I mean, that's how I look at it.
I know we're wrapping up here, but I just wanted to say that's one of the best messages that we've had on the show. We get a chance to talk goofy and laugh and joke and, you know, whatever, but that's a great message, man, and I appreciate you bringing that message. Thanks.
Yeah, because I don't do the whole fighting thing just for me. I do it to support my family, and I do it for these kids, the kids that I've been working here for 2 years, and these kids always want to see me fight and train, and I train with some of these kids. You know, I do a lot of cardiovascular with these kids, and yeah, I look a little tubby-wubby, and I don't look all in shape, but I'll tell you what, I give your butt a full 3 rounds of 3 minutes as an amateur, I'll tell you that much right now. You know, but
hold on, man.
I definitely appreciate you guys having me on the show. That you know, I'm a little nervous right now because I don't like talking to a lot of large groups, and especially when
I know
they're
listening to me. You did fine, brother. You did fine.
Yeah, man. We know. I know you got lots of sponsors, man. So go ahead and give those shout outs to all your sponsors, family, whoever you want to shout out to.
You know, 813 Customs. Their main manager over there, Gabe. The dude's been rocking with me for a very long time. Private security. You know, head of security, certain places. So definitely 813 Customs, SmokeZero.com. That's those you know, fake cigarettes. You know, Greg Hall. You know, I appreciate him. Southern Styles Barbershop in Riverview. American Legends Entertainment out of New Jersey, an entertainment company that recently just signed a 4-fight contract, amateur contract to sponsor me. You know. Who else? You got MASH Everything. That's another music entertainment ordeal up out of Jersey and New York. You know, the love's coming from everywhere. So, you know, I give love to everybody. You know, my wife, I love you, Lizette. My daughters, you know, everybody. My uncle out in Arizona who planned on coming out to this fight. You know, all my friends and family in Jersey. You know, I'm headed down that path. You know, so hop on the train. That's all I can say because I'm not stopping.
Right on, man. Well.
Andrew,
thanks
I just
again.
Real quick, I just one thing before you let him go, Matt. I just want to let you know. I just requested you on Facebook, Full Guard Flake here. I want to message box inbox when you get a chance. Okay.
All right. Cool. Hey. Also, Team World Class Martial Arts, Master Ralph Garcia, Nelson Del Valle. I want everybody to pay attention to the fighters this upcoming fight card next weekend. These boys are more than ready. These boys are going to be explosive. And they're going to keep everybody on their toes the entire time. So, guys, thank you very much. God bless you. I very much appreciate your time.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for taking some time out of your work tonight to be with us. That's a very notable thing that you're doing over there, helping those kids rehabilitate and stuff. So we greatly appreciate you taking this 20-some minutes to talk with us. And the Madhouse family will hear much from you. You know, anything that you do around here, man, I'll be following, and people will be knowing Andrew, the one and only Ghost Gonitsky, man. So have a good night, bro, and thanks for being with us.
All right, God bless you. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
All right, man.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question, man, just real quick before we go on to we move on to bigger and better here. What websites or what do you – how do you access all the – where do you access outside of MMA Madhouse? Do you access all the events that
how am I finding out about the events?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm you know, I'm online and I'm, you know, and I don't know where you're going and how you're accessing all these events.
I'm just that good, man. It's not something I can tell
you.
I have to teach you. No, I'm just, I mean, I just do lots of searching, you know, I follow most of these promotions on Facebook. You know, when I first started writing for Madhouse, I'd spend hours on Facebook just typing in random names and seeing what kind of promotions came up, started following promotions, meeting promoters. You know, he talked a lot about Ralph Garcia. I know Ralph Garcia a little bit, talked with him a few times, talked with him in person a few times, hoping to have him and Dwayne Spires on the show next week. They run the World Class Fight League. You know, talking to Dion DeLauder from the Florida Combat Network, You know, Sky, a lot of these guys, I just being out at these events, you know, I went from not knowing any of these guys, and I when I first started getting with Madhouse.
I got Need in the ball sack.
All right. I don't know what that was.
I think Carl might be playing. I mean, might be playing with some buttons over there.
Yeah, I think so. He's playing. He's having fun on his new device there. But yeah, man, I can hit you up on Facebook and get. There's no really central website. Like MMA Underground will have some events posted and have some stuff going on throughout Florida. But I'm gonna be honest with you, MMA, the Underground does not have. I'll be at 5 events over the next month. Not a single one of those events is listed on MMA Underground's Florida event. So let's put it that way. The Underground does a good job, but they don't do a great job. So we do a great job at Madhouse because we know about those events and we're going to have people at those events. So, you know, the MMA Underground is one of the biggest websites out there for MMA, and I get it because they've been around. They have the connections, but they're not hustling and they're not doing the work that we're doing at Madhouse. The stuff that Carl Mortensen and Skippy Cohen, Lapati, Chris, me, you, Devin, Sealander, Caitlin. I mean, it just goes on and on, man. Donald Pierce, Christoph, Trey Davenport. It's just on and on with the team that we have. No one's covering the events like we're covering them, plain and simple. You know, I'm at an event. I go out to some of these events around here, and I'm one of the only press that's out there. You know, like, why aren't these local events getting the love that they should be getting? And you know what?
Right.
That's fine with me. You know, if no one else wants to give them the love and the time and the respect, I'll be there. You know, I World Class Fight League, Florida Combat Challenge, the ABC events, it doesn't matter. You know, if I can get in touch with the promoter, I do everything I can to be there. And basically all I did, Jason, to get in touch with these guys is just search them out, you know, search them out, found promoters, found promotions throughout this Florida area, and do my best to be at all these events. You know, the RFC, Fight Time Promotions, those are a couple of the pro promotions down here in Florida that I go to. I'm psyched about the Fight Time 13 coming up here in February 15th. Actually, that's my birthday weekend. My birthday is February 16th, and I'm actually going to be spending my birthday weekend out there in Fort Lauderdale. Going to be at Fight Time 13 Friday night, and then just be out there the rest of the weekend with my girl. Have a nice couple days away with just me and her. Have some Duffy's. I don't know if you've ever tried Duffy's. They're all down the East Coast over there, but it's the best chicken wings I've ever had. So I'm going to spend my birthday eating a bunch of chicken wings at Duffy's, and
let me ask
excited
you
about
did
that.
Did you just ask me if I've ever had Duffy chicken wings? I'm from Buffalo, man. I try chicken wings all over God's creation, and I like to eat, too. Have you ever seen me, for God's sakes, Matt?
I don't know, man. I don't know how familiar you are. You know, being from Buffalo, I didn't know how familiar you are with the East Coast. As far as I know, Duffy's is only – I don't think they're anywhere outside of Florida. I think they're just down all up and down the East Coast of Florida. I had never heard of them prior to going out to
Beef
Florida.
Beef O'Brady's is much better.
Beef O'Brady's is good. Don't get me wrong, but Beef O'Brady's is not better than Duffy's wings. But that's my opinion. I don't know. I eat chicken wings everywhere I go. I'm with you, dude. We'll go to these weird restaurants, all kinds of different restaurants, and I'm looking to see if they have chicken wings on the menu. And my girlfriend's always saying, "What's the matter with you? Aren't you going to try something new?" I'm like, I am trying something new. I'm trying their chicken wings compared to the other chicken wings.
That's absolutely it, man. Absolutely it. Wait, let me ask you, does Beef O'Brady's have chicken wings?
Yeah, they do. They have regular wings and boneless wings. They got good wings, too.
Beef O'Brady's has the best wings, all 240 franchise locations in the northern hemisphere have all been successful.
Who is that? Who's somebody
this
coming and taking
Google.
Over our show? Who's taking over our show right now?
You have reached Google technical support. I answer all questions because Google knows all.
Oh, who put Skippy on the phone? Man, I know that voice now. That's Skippy.
What's up, Jason? What's up, guys? I just screw with y'all, man. I'll let y'all finish your show. I just thought it'd be funny.
What's up, brother? How are you
doing? Hey, I'm doing good, London. How you been, brother?
I'm good. Listen, I was going to say this at the end, but I wanted to thank you. I got a gift in the mail the other day, and I've been wearing it with pride. My father-in-law said, "Where'd you get that from?" So he's going to be ordering one from you guys. So I appreciate it. I got my shirt in the mail. I can't wait to show it off and out in public, but I have it out all the time.
Hey,
so.
You know what, Jason? On that subject, Jason, I actually was just talking with Skippy about some shirts that I want to get made. You know what? I'm going to once we discuss prices, I'll figure all that, how much it's going to cost. I came up with some I altered a couple of the Madhouse logos to include Full Guard Fight Radio Man. As soon as I get those shirts made, I will personally have one made for you, and I'll be mailing it to you too, so we can get some promo going of Madhouse and Full Guard Fight Radio. I'm excited about that. And actually, Skippy, you still there?
I'm still here, brother.
All right, you know, I actually want to keep you on the phone for a few minutes. I kind of wanted to do something. I talked with Jason about this behind the scenes, and I hope Carl's not going to be upset with me, but me and Jason kind of wanted to interview Carl Mortensen, the mastermind behind Madhouse. We wanted to talk with him a little bit and kind of be able to give our show and our fan base a little inside look at the mastermind to all this. So I'm actually super psyched that you happen to jump on with us, dude, because I think probably you probably know Skippy better than any of the rest of us, or you probably know Carl. You probably know Skippy better than anybody, I'm guessing, but you probably know Carl better than most. So I'm kind of glad you're with us tonight. So, Carl, why don't you jump on in here with us?
The madman himself, the one and only, the great producer of Madhouse Productions and the president of Madhouse.com, Carl the Madman Mortensen. What's up, Canadian killer?
What's up? You know, just trying to stay warm and everything's good. What's going on?
Not much, man. I just you know, just the past couple of days I've been thinking, like, there's so much that Carl Mortensen does for Madhouse, and it really gets I don't think the people know it. I don't think the people of our show, a lot of the people that listen in here, I don't know how much they're aware of the mastermind that you are and this beautiful, beautiful creation of MMA Madhouse and all the work that you've probably put into it. So I came up with the idea the other day that I want to interview you, ask you some questions, and ran it by Jason, see what he thought about it. Jason said he loved it. So, you know, no further blabbering, which I know I do quite well. But, you know, where did the MMA Madhouse idea come from, Carl? What spawned this idea in your incredibly large brain?
lots of molten ice.
Very gracious of you. How it all began, really, you know, was I started working for a website up here called MMA Fighter, MMAEH. It's a Canadian. They're pretty inactive now, but it originally started there. I started doing what so many of you guys do. You know, I was going to shows for them, and you know, pretty much started there. And then, you know, the tag Madhouse has been with me most of my life, and MMA Madhouse came up for sale, and, you know, I snagged it. I bought it, and it's been, you know, a blast ever since.
Right on. And, you know, how did you and Skippy meet? I mean, I know, you know, Skippy's your vice president, your second in command. And
you don't want to know that story. It involved a strip club and a lot of molten ice.
Well, now I want to know that story, and now that story is going to definitely be told. So how did you and the wonderful Mr. Smokestack Skippy Cohen, how did you guys meet?
Well, back in those days, you know, it was all me. I was a solo operation. Pretty much I had my buddy Scott was helping me out a bit. He still does. He comes to lots of shows with me. And, you know, I noticed, like, every single post I put on Facebook, this guy Skippy Cohen was liking and sharing everything. Every single thing I put on the web. And, you know, finally I just got to the point where it was like I sent him a message and was like, dude, what's your phone number? I got to talk to you. And, you know, one thing led to another, and here we are today. You know, wouldn't change a thing. That was the greatest decision I ever made in my life.
Well, you guys know I got an opinion on everything, it seems. And, you know, I liked Carl's articles. I liked what he was promoting because it wasn't just, you know, like the UFC or just one promotion. It was all these regional promotions that I personally been following for some time myself just because of the love of the sport. And, you know, it just worked out, man. You know, originally I was just going to, you know, kind of kick back and do some articles and interviews, cover some shows in the Pac Northwest. And he invited me one night onto a show, and after putting my foot in my mouth with my very first question ever, I got that out of the way, and we've never looked back. We've been burning the world down in our path.
Right on.
I wish I had that clip on the in the archives right now, Skippy. I'd play it for these guys. You're fabulous.
Jason, if that's what you're about to ask, I'll give you a quick synopsis.
That's exactly what I'm about to ask. Thank you.
Okay. A phenomenal, phenomenal guy. Amazing coach and fighter named Jimmy Griffith. He fights out of Canada, and he runs an outreach program. Muay Thai, just spectacular Muay Thai fighter. And he runs an outreach program that goes out, you know, fights drug addicts and teenage kids, the problems, and teenage kids that have nowhere to go after school. And he offers them, you know, MMA and Muay Thai and the discipline and what comes along with that. And I saw my opportunity right there because, you know, he's like, you know, I go out and I find these, you know, these young men, they're, you know, troubled youth. And I jumped in. I said, so where do you go late at night looking for young men?
Oh.
And he just got quiet for a second. I was like, no, I don't mean like that. I mean, he's like, he started laughing then. He's like, I know what you meant. You know?
Hey,
so,
man. I think I've said some dumb things here. I've said a couple of dumb things in my my young radio career, but that's hilarious, man. That's funny. That's
I may take the cake.
I don't think I've ever said anything that priceless.
I don't remember which episode that was. That was Skippy's first episode with us on Madhouse.
That was like in the 20s. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Hey, but you know what? You guys hear probably one of my all-time favorite clips. I'll play it for you guys. This is the story from Eddie Blackburn and Jeff Munson. They were both on the show with us. They're good friends of us and the show of each other. And Eddie took Munson and cracked him over the head with a croquet mallet and then took off running. And Munson chased him down, not just around the house once, but five times, caught him and tapped him out in the middle of the yard. Listen to this. You guys are going to love this. Eddie, that's some great advice.
That's awesome stuff right there. I think I remember hearing that about 5 years ago from the same person.
Was that before or after he tapped you?
That might have been before and again after. he was on your show a while back saying that he choked me out at parties, bro. I stay away from that guy at parties. He choked me out at some submission wrestling tournament thing that we had at American Top Team. But,
well, the first time we ever grappled, that is, we were at like a 4th of July party, and for some reason he took a croquet stick and whacked me over the back with it. And I chased you, remember I chased you down? And I ran around the house five times. Yeah, and I finally caught you, and then I put a choke on. I was like, ah.
we had some battles in the living room, bro.
Yeah, I remember.
Exactly. But Skippy, you had somebody that big running after you when you hit him with a croquet stick, too?
You definitely know I would. Jeff Munson's a badass, man. Dude, yeah, that's one of my favorite stories, man. I mean, we've had some fun on our show, and obviously, you know, you guys will be in the 100 range one day, too, and you guys will have some great stories to look back on. I love what you guys do. I love, honestly, being partners with Carl. I know him best than anybody. He's kind of like my Canadian brother, you know. We're the Can-Am connection. But he is definitely the guy, man.
Carl, I got a question for you. I know you're a family man as well. The wife, has she grown to be supportive, or has she always been supportive? Does she enjoy MMA? Give us a little background of the family. Why you wake up in the morning? Why you do what you do?
Why I do what I do is because I love it. I got strong support. Not the biggest fan, but she loves a great fight. Bonner and Forrest was a major moment in that for her. I mean, I'd been into it for years at that point, but that was the turning point for her, though.
Very cool. And how about you have one daughter?
Two daughters. I got my 8.5-year-old, and I've got my 9-month-old. Caitlin and Finn.
Keeping you busy.
Keeping me very busy.
And then you got on top of those children, you got to deal with all of us madhouse children always hounding you for things all the time, always coming at you. I mean, how do you, you know, with having that family and you got a, I mean, we've got a great family here with this team that you've put together. I mean, just you know, you took a big gamble on me. You know, when we first started talking, you know, you said, you know, you hadn't really dealt with anything in Florida before, and it didn't really didn't really know much about what was down here, but you know, you gave me a shot. You let me send you that Gracie article, and from there, man, you transformed my life in a big way. This Madhouse has opened up major doors for me. I've had aspirations of being a sports writer for a long time. I've known sports as number one my entire life. From my earliest memories was always liking Michael Jordan, always liking the Chicago Bulls. And the more I grew and the older I got, the more it was like more and more sports. And then I finally got into my early 20s and started getting into the MMA stuff. And I never could have foreseen myself doing what I'm doing now, but it's because of you that I am doing what I'm doing now. So, you know, what has gone into, you know, with Madhouse being your creation and something that, you know, you want to be held up to the highest standards, have, You know the Madhouse logo and the Madhouse name to be kept with big integrity and big respect throughout the MMA world. You know, what kind of goes into your decisions when you add new team members and when you find guys like me and Jason who are, you know, in a not only in a different country than you, but we're at the opposite end of the country from where most of your team's located. You know, what goes into that decision making to allow us to have that chance to be on your team?
Passion. If I see the passion, you know, that's all it takes for me. I saw the passion in London a long time ago with his, you know, the stuff he was formerly involved with, and yourself. You know, I saw what you were doing, and you know, your article just put me on the floor. But you know, I can't take all the you know, credit. You know, Skippy and Lepaki, and you know, all of you guys. We are truly a team. You know. Skippy I couldn't do this without him. I'll tell you that, flat out.
That was going to be my next question, my next follow-up, and I know this, we talked to Carol about it, when Skippy was a very nice addition, unexpected addition. But Skip, how did you get involved in all this? How did you wake up one day and say, I want to do MMA?
Well, I grew up a K-1 kid in Europe. You know, I'm probably like Carl. We're probably a little older than you guys. You know, in the
I'm
80s,
almost,
man.
I'm almost 40, brother.
Okay, well, 40. Then me and you are the same age. I'll be 40 soon. You know, I grew up in Europe, man, in the 80s, man. It was, you know, K-1 was just coming into effect. I got to travel, honestly, until, shit, I got adopted, what, 76? And I didn't come to the States till 94. So I spent my whole life traveling the world, you know, going to Thailand, going to Australia and North Africa. And, you know, I got to watch, you know, Muay Thai and K-1 as a kid growing up. So when I came to America, I had a passion for it still, and it was hard to find. And I got into boxing and started watching boxing. And then MMA started really making a big statement in the mid-90s, you know, before the whole blackout period. So I just, right then and there, I was hooked. I'm still a K-1 kid at heart. It's still my favorite sport out there. There's nothing better. It's about two men. It's just a live chess match. It's all technical. One mistake and you're done. And that's what I love about it. I have an opinion, man. I post it all the time on all kinds of places, but I liked a lot of the stuff Carl was doing, and I was following a lot of the amateur scene. So when he called me up, dude, you know, you got a stoner working in a bar in a grow shop who loves mixed martial arts and gets the opportunity to talk about it. I ran with it, man. I mean, I blew it up, dude. I pushed it, hustled it, and worked my way up. And now I'm partners with Carl, and, you know, our goal is just to keep getting bigger and better and bring in the best local MMA coverage from wherever part of the world it is.
You know, K-1 is something that I growing up, baseball was my thing, and I really wish MMA was bigger, or you know, K-1 or kickboxing, or, you know, ESPN2 used to show a lot of, like, kickboxing and things like that, but K-1, I'm starting to really, not starting to, I've been really following and trying to get in, and I just, It's incredible. I mean, you're absolutely right when you say it's like a chess match, and it's I enjoy it. So it's pretty cool. I can see how you would be involved.
You know, that sport, you know, today, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, the sport is still pretty much the exact same as it was. It's and that's what I love about it. It's all about the best two guys getting in there. And I, you know, that's part of the reason I like the sport is because it's a striking sport. It's a very, you know, fast-paced sport. You don't have to worry so much because, you know, in K-1, like if you catch a guy's leg, you have X amount of time to either let it go or connect a punch, connect a kick, or sweep him. I mean, you can't sit there and hold that leg and push him across the you know, across the ring into the corner and then, you know, take him down to the ground and then sit on top of him and dry hump him and then, you know, I just, you know, I don't like that. I mean, I think that's what's, you know, the only bad part of the sport in the last few years is Western wrestling has pussified MMA. They've gotten rid of the killer instinct, and that's what K-1 is about. K-1 is about finishing fights. It's about winning. These guys who put 100, 130, 150, same thing with tie fights, 150, 200 tie fights in, they go in to win it. That's why you see records of 186 and 12. They go in to finish and win. That's the name of the game in that sport. And people like the couch, and anybody out there who doesn't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about Ben Askren. That's my nickname for him because that's where you go to take a seat and watch real fighters. You know, he is a lay and pray god. He works off the wrestling system. He is about points, and he's not about finishing. And that's why there's certain fighters out there today in MMA that really impress me because they're finishers. You know, you see, especially in the amateur ranks, you know, you're starting to see more of a progression of kickboxers and Thai fighters, you know, training into MMA instead of MMA training in Thai. And I like it because you're seeing, you know, Tracy Lockwood's a great example. 45-4 as a pro female MMA Muay Thai fighter. Now she's coming into MMA, but she spent 2 years training her ground game with the likes of Roger Huerta and Ray LB and Ben Stark, you know, Ben Stark, excuse me, and, Fernando from Brazilian Top Team, the coach down there. So you've got a striker who's used to finishing people coming into the game. I like that. It makes it exciting to see that influx again.
You know, before we run out of time, I wanted to talk another reason I'm glad you called in, Skippy, because just this last weekend we had an Invicta 4, which I failed miserably at being able to watch. I tried over and over and over again for hours to try and get that link to work, and it just would not happen for me. I know you did see it, so real quick in the next couple minutes, let's talk about how Invicta 4 went.
Invicta 4 was phenomenal, and for everybody out there who
awesome.
Got up 5 hours before the event started and purchased your ticket, we would not have had this problem. It's the fact that everybody tried to log in the last 20 minutes. But that being said, my refund has been donated to a local women's MMA amateur fighter. I'm buying her a set of gloves with my refund. I'm adding some money to it because I felt like that event was so good. I was jumping up and down. Carl was right next to me. I was screaming like a high school cheerleader getting ready to make out with the football team. It was a party. It was so great to see Amanda Bell do that, like, Hulk and slam the floor. Oh, and dude, the C-12 gauge and Tika Torres banging out like that. Oh, and dude, let's be honest. Dude, I give it up to Liv Von Plattenberg. Liv Von Plattenberg, 8-day notice, stepped in against Calderwood and took everything Calderwood had to offer and finished the fight. What a great card. What a great card. Lexis Davis. Oh, my God. Oh, all the fights were so great. Oh, it was such a great card. I love
it. It was a good card. Yeah, I enjoyed it, too. I logged in a little bit before. I'm one of those that crashed the system, so that's my fault. But I got a chance to see every fight except the main event, which I was just heated about. But I agree with you. It was such a good card. I'm in my, you know, I got two kids, I got a baby, and I'm screaming, and my wife's like, would you shut your mouth before you wake that baby up? So, no, it's a great card. I absolutely agree.
Well, any of the fights you missed, you guys, hop over to Rear Naked Smoke, man. They got them all up right now. So you can go over and watch all those.
Good.
Or to the Invicta YouTube page, I believe, also. But They've got them all. The fights actually broke down real quick and easy. You could just scroll through, pick which one you want. But, yeah, I thought, hands down, I would pay $7. I would have paid $15 for that card. It was that impressive. And to know some of the things that I know about the upcoming cards and who's on them and what some of the plays are going to be, I'm even more pumped to see what they do. I hope, beyond all hope, that they do not go to Showtime. Too many people are not going to pay that package to get an event once every 3 months from them. I mean, they won't do it for the UFC either, let's be honest.
Yeah.
People don't want to pay $22.95 a month for Showtime when they're only going to want to watch it once in a while.
Yeah,
I hope
think
they
Showtime
go a different
that
route.
Very well. I don't think Showtime handles that stuff very well. I think they handled Strikeforce pretty crappy. I don't know. Yeah,
do you know who needs to do Invitka? And I'm going to call it out right now. And these guys, I know for a fact that they've had some talks with some different leagues out there. But you know who needs to come in and kick the door open? ESPN.
Yeah.
That's who needs to take Invitka.
Here's the worst part about that ESPN, though. You know, when the UFC was at their prime, I want to say at their prime, at the height of this popularity nonsense that's been going on like the last 2 years, that's when they were all over. Now, you just see the scrolls on the bottom, and they hardly ever do interviews on ESPN anymore.
That's here's my point to this whole thing. They don't do MMA. And who does sports better in every category? Let's be honest. They're going to have breakdown shows. They're also going to be the only people in the whole world in the way of an organization that can feed you MMA any day, anytime, live recorded to every cable network on every continent. They're the only ones who have a deal like that besides maybe, you know, a few other companies. But sports-wise, there's nobody. There's ESPN in every continent.
I absolutely agree with you.
I just think the suits at ESPN, you know, are thinking just like we are.
Female sales. Think about that. I'm not saying men. I'm saying women is who they should kick that door in with. You bring that class of beautiful, talented athletes, do some news, you know, 30 on 30s on them, and do some, have them on cold pizza, or not cold pizza, what's it called now? First and 10 or something. Wildy's all over it the last 6 months. Dude, they can so blow it up. And the thing is, women fighters, they can sell to both sexes. Everybody trusts ESPN. It's a loved network. They're not hated, you know, per se, like some other networks out there. You know, so, dude, I think ESPN could blow up Invitka like nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree, man.
Real quick before we have to wrap up, we're about to run out of time. I just wanted to state the only MMA coverage that happens on ESPN is on ESPN Deportes, and that's the Jungle FC. So the ESPN's missing out on it big time there, and it's unfortunate we have to end this conversation. This conversation was getting good, but we're going to run out of time. And
Carl, we got 5 minutes for overtime? Or no? Okay, you guys have a good night, dude. Hey, I'm out. Thank you, boys, for bullshitting with me. Eagle!
it's always an honor having Skippy on with us. And before we get out of here, you know, MMAMadhouse.com, check them out. It's the best there is anywhere on the internet. MMAtopics.net, check them out. You know, Chris is doing great things over there. Our sponsors, BrawlBase.com, CrossRotorClothing.com, GatorMMA.com. Thank you for all that you're doing for us. Thank you for all that you're doing for the MMA scene and the MMA world. Jason, man, it was glad to get you back on with us tonight. Next week, it should be another great show. And, you know, we don't have guests confirmed yet, but I'm working on some stuff here, and we'll see what we can get going for next week. Right on, man. Well, for everyone listening, thanks for being with us tonight. It was a great show. We'll see you guys next week. Carl, you're the best in the business, man. Thank you for answering some questions and letting us interview you, man. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk soon. MMAMadhouse.com. There's no one better. Peace out.
time to disperse. Party's over.